Welcome to Starfleet Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I run SFB Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just to remind you how to join us for my podcast every Thursday night starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either join us on the phone, just dial 605-562-0444. There's follow directions. The call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web. Just go to the Talk's website at www.talkshoe.com and search for call ID 17702. And if you want to, also you can watch us on twitch.tv. Go to twitch.tv/SFUOnCall. I will be there. I will be keeping an eye out for people, and hopefully I will be able to say hi. And if you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is SFUOnCall@gmail.com. It's SFUONCALL.com. Also, if you want to reach me via Twitter, just use the account SFU on call. Also have a personal account called Paul Franz. That, yes, that is me. And I like talking about being Catholic and about tech. That's my two favorite things in the entire world. And of course I have a tertiary account called Franz Games, which is for Franz Games, you know, the business account. So if you want to keep an eye on what's going on with my business, you can do that too. And of course it's lovely TalkCast gets turned to a podcast available on various feeds around the webs. One quick news from A to B this week. Steve Cole, of course, has been working on Starfleet Commander play-by-email cards and also keeping an update on Shapeways. And there's going to be some new ones coming out in June. So keep an eye out for those. And Gene has also been busy with multiple things, including keeping care of the customers. Of course, Steve Cole has a presence in Facebook, so keep an eye on that. Look for Emerald Design Bureau, and you will find their page. Moving on to the SFB Online Tournament, that is the Sapphire Star Tournament 4. Round 3 game between Peter Bakia and Ben. It's a Gorn versus Klingon, has completed 2 turns. They will continue that on the Saturday the 23rd at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 12 o'clock Pacific. So if you want to watch a really good game, join SFB Online during that time and you will see it. Remember that even if you don't have an account, that's one of the things that is free. Just download the client, log in as a demo account, and you will be able to watch that game live. So definitely join in. If you want to go there, go to sfbonline.com. That's where you'll find all the information about SFB Online. Moving on and forward to the library. There's been no progress for the library. Actually, one thing still stays at 2,522. It's yet to be converted to 799, leaving percent complete at 75.94%. Now, the one thing I did do is I did look at those things that yet to be converted. Of course, most of those, there are a few exceptions, but most of those are either the PFs, the interceptors, or the Omega ships. Those are the most of the ships are those ships. I need to double check with Steve Cole to see if he's willing to, if he has any Omega backgrounds, because if he has some Omega backgrounds, because he said, oh, you know, what do I need? I think those are most of them. The PFs, most probably we can get them done, because most probably those can be used current backgrounds for the most part. Some of them I'm not quite sure about, like the MRNs. I'm not sure if we have something that's even close to what an MRN background looks like. Obviously, the Tholian Arachnid, that one can use a PC hull. The Orion, I'm not quite sure about the Orion Buccaneer. I have to double check on the SD what that looks like, but you know some of them you definitely can do, including the Federation PFs, which are conjectural, but we still have them in the library. Also, one thing I'm going to add on to a little, I just keep an eye on things. because of Steve Cole has been so happy to give us the ship, the play by email cards for Federation Commander. I figure I probably should start keeping you guys an update on how the progress on taking the ship cards and actually adding them to the library, which I think you guys should know that, yeah, there's actually progress being made for that. Now, I can't tell you what the ship numbers were from before, but the current ship numbers. Now, this is the library that does not include the ships that are already included in the client. Because the ships included in the client, there's quite a few already. But there's a lot more in the library. Currently, squadron size ships are at 341 squadron size ships, including all the Andromedans. Well, almost all the Andromedans. There's a few more that Steve Cole sent me, which I still have to get around to converting. I have not converted the fleet size ships, and that not squadron size ships have been made into fleet size ships by the number, which is only 239 versus the 341. But that gives us quite a few ships there, so a total of around 580 ships in total in the library. That's both ship and fleet, I mean squadron and fleet. So to me, so I have 341 unique ships in my mind. I'm assuming that the fleets are duplicates of the squadron. So, but anyhow, so that is the news for this week. And it's me, it's the one and only Pop Friends, welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight, we've got me, we've got Barry, and that's it. And this might be a very short show because Barry has to get some sleep. But we'll do our best to continue on, even if Barry drops off the face of the earth and goes and falls into a coma. So, hey, Barry.
Hey there. So, let's look at the Zygvarian, I think, is the ship of tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's a very symmetrical ship. Quite literally, it can shoot and fight out of any shield facing.
Uh-huh.
It is nimble. It is turn mode B, so highly maneuverable. It's also got its systems that are unusual. It's got, for heavy weapon, it's got a kinetic wave, which is a style of plasma torpedo.
Mm-hmm.
It's got pulse emitters, which is its phaser style weapon.
Right.
And the other unusual thing it has is a secondary shield.
Right, shield number seven.
Shield number seven is really, really, really flexible. So basically, you can use that shield anywhere you need it. So if you get hit from an enveloping weapon, it can protect multiple shields at the same time. It's basically shield boxes that you can use as basically reinforcement for any shield facing, including multiple shield facings in the same impulse, at will. It can come, it can be damaged after reinforcement, which is nice. So you get to use your reinforcement first, then your secondary shield,
mm-hmm.
then your main shield. You can use it or not use it as you wish. The only downside is that it cannot be used to determine where hellbore damage occurs. Although after the hellbore damage occurs, it can be used as reinforcement anywhere.
Right.
So if you have a down shield and half the hellbore damage happens on the down shield, you can use it to reinforce that down shield and at least take some of the hellbore damage off.
Right, but of course, the issue with the hellbore damage, i.e. that if one shield is down, a lot of the damage will go through that one shield.
Yeah. Yeah, but it mitigates the Hell Warp quite a bit in that respect. Yeah. At least you have some shield.
Oh, agreed.
Another interesting, nice thing about the secondary shield is it's quick and cheap and easy to repair. For one point of power and damage control, you get one box back. So you can repair up to four boxes of secondary shield per turn.
Excellent.
So that is particularly nice.
But normal
It
repair
makes
is not
damage
reduced.
control.
If
What's
you
that?
do it, if you do it via CDR, not CDR, yeah, CDR, not powered. It is
Right. But
the
no,
same
power
class.
damage control.
Right.
What's that?
Yeah, I was noticing that, yeah, for regular CDR, continuous damage repair,
Yeah.
it still costs the same amount as a regular shield. That's all.
Yeah, but nobody uses CDR in tournament.
Depends. If you're desperate, you do. If you're that low in
Okay.
power, you do.
Okay.
Right.
Okay, so
It's
there
rare.
is that. But it basically means that if the secondary shield's been damaged, it makes sense to pump 4 points of damage control every turn. Because, and you can use it on a down shield, unlike specific reinforcement. So,
Oh, yeah.
in that sense, yeah, it's a very nice device to use. Now for the heavy weapons, the plasma style weapon is the kinetic wave, is a it's a plasma style weapon with a bizarre twist that almost makes it
Useless.
really weak. When you first launch it, it's weak. And as it travels, it gets stronger. And then it peaks out, and then it starts to die off again. So there's two variants, a light and a heavy. And the variant, if you have a heavy launcher, you can arm it in 2 turns or 3 turns. And with a light one, you can only arm it for 2 turns. And after 2 turns of arming, you have a light. After 3 turns of arming, you have a heavy. It has all the energy in it has to be allocated. It cannot use reserve power. Costs 3 points of power per turn of arming. And it holds for two. And I think you can stop the arming at any point, but you have to pay holding cost in that if you do that. And you can't use reserve power to continue the arming. You have to use allocated. So for heavy, it's 333, so 9 points total, making it a little more expensive than at the Plasma S. And I don't think it's as it's nowhere near as powerful as an S. It's got well, when you first launch it, range zero, it does no damage at all. So if somebody gets to range zero, you have no heavy weapons. But at range 1 through 5, it does 9 points of damage. 6 through 10, it does 18. 11 through 15, it does 27, and this is just number of hexes that the torpedo has traveled. 16 to 20, it goes drops back down to 18, and 21 through 25, it drops down to 9. So at at extreme long ranges, it's actually better than a plasma S. But of course, you don't want to be firing your plasma S's at that range anyway. With a 3-turn arming weapon, hang
That
on a second.
is interesting because
Yeah.
given the arcs for those, it's you got two of them, two of the heavies in any direction.
Right.
which
Yeah.
actually to a certain degree is kind of interesting in that it's a weird ship in that it's best if you're running away.
Yeah. Well, that can do the retrograde better than anybody.
It doesn't have to do a retrograde. That's the thing. It's got two heavies that will fire directly rear arc.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, every plasma launcher has 180 degree arcs. So you've got an FAL, an FAR, an RAL, and an RAR. So.
Yeah, that's why I said because those 180 degree arcs, no matter what arc you're in, you've got at least two in arc. If you got a shield,
Right.
right along the shield line, you got three,
You can get three. Yeah.
which is not bad. Now, obviously, as I said, this is a ship meant for designed for running away. Because of the distance,
Well, here.
well, come on, the weapon is such that it gets stronger to a certain degree, to a point,
As it gets further.
as it gets further. So you don't want to really go in and attack your opponent. You want
No,
you
you don't.
you want basically want to do is you want to, this is really weird when it comes to any
Tactic.
fighting style. Which is you
Yeah.
go to like range 20 and then you fire.
Yeah.
You launch these suckers. And
Well, at range 20, here's the problem. If you fire at range 20, your opponent may say, eh, I can turn and run it out
right.
easily.
Oh, understood.
If you and if you fire it at the optimal range, which is range 11 through 15, now your opponent can say, I can run through it, into it, and get lesser damage.
Right, which is the difficult part, because it's one of those ones where it's a catch 22, because what you really want is you want to have the ability to actually pin, quote unquote, pin your opponent, which is impossible to do,
Yeah.
at range 20. You want your opponent to do something really dumb, i.e., do a corner dodge. That's what you want him to do.
Yeah.
Because if you can get him the corner dodge, he's toast. Now, but
Right.
if he comes directly at you at high speed, you're toast because one of two things can happen. As you pointed out, if you get too close and you fire, he's going to keep running as fast as possible directly at you.
Yeah.
But
And if he can run through it, then you have your weapons become weak and feeble at close range.
Right, exactly. But if you fire at long enough range, if he tries to run through it, he's going to hit it at pretty heavy damage. He can run away.
Yeah. Right. So the initiative is in your opponent.
Right.
You don't want to fire. Yeah, it's that's why I'm saying this is a weapon that really it's good for killing bases.
Oh, I agree. This is a base killer. This ship, th this
Yeah.
weapon, sorry, this weapon is a base killer. And because
Yes.
that's the only real weapon they have, because the pulse emitters, is called for love of Pete. The only thing
Are garbage.
they're worth anything for is defensive against seeking weapons. That's the only thing they could be used for, in theory.
And they're pretty pitiful there too.
Oh, I agree. They're very, very, very weak, but it's better than nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
Yeah, it has no phasers other than the pulse emitters.
right.
It's got six pulse emitters with similar arcs to the kinetic waves, except you got two 360s. So you got one pulse emitter is FAL, one's FAR, one's RAL, one's RAR, and then you got two 360s. And they each one of them fires three times. And at any decent range one, they do average of what? A little over 2 points per shot. So they're a little more powerful than a phaser one at range one. Probably a little more powerful than a phaser one at range two. About parity with a phaser one at range three, and at range four, they're much weaker than a phaser one, and that's their max range. And they don't hold for free like most phasers. There is no phaser capacitor. Now you can hold them for, I think it's half the energy in the weapon. Hang on a second. Let's see. Pulse emitters.
They're returning, so yeah. So yeah, they're basically a weak Gatling phase. Oh, sorry, weak Gatling phaser.
Yes, they do less damage, and they only fire three pulses instead of four. They can be held for one half of the energy they contain, and since it takes 0.33 points of energy per shot, that gets really weird really quickly.
Okay, when it comes to energy allocation, oi,
Yeah.
because of if you only have two pulses, in the capacitor, what's okay, half of
Which there
that
is none. Yeah.
is a one-third energy, and you might have another one which is three, which is half a point of energy. Oi, dude,
Yeah. Well,
this is the kind of nightmares I deal with
Yeah.
when it comes
What?
to the Andromedan, and when you try to do, actually, this is not just the Andromeda. I'm sure that the Orion and the anytime you want to try to use a tra not a tractor, a transporter with a two-thirds movement cost ship. It's one of those nutty things when it comes to energy,
Yeah. Oh, I know. I know. It's a weird ship.
that is, I have to admit, that's one of the things that I'm glad with FedCom that they got rid of that. They didn't say, oh, it's only point, it's one-fifth point of power to do it, to use a transport. I think it's like a I forget what it's based off of, but it makes something a little easier to track, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you have one pulse unused, you can hold it for one sixth of a point of energy.
Which is what.
Yeah. What the heck?
Yeah, agreed. But again, as I said, the pulse emitters, they're defensive weapons. They're phaser
Yes,
Gs.
they are.
They're a weak phaser G. They only can fire three times a turn. They cost one-third of
And they do
energy
less.
versus a quarter point of energy, which and they only can fire three times versus four.
Yeah, so yeah, they're
But
less efficient than a phaser
and
three, a
close
phaser
in,
Gatling.
range one, it averages a little, it's like a 2.67. It's two and two-thirds average damage at range
Per
one
pulse.
per pulse.
Right. And then you get three pulses. So it's about 8 points of damage for average at range one, which is pretty good. So it's better than a P1 at range one. Range two, it's still better than a P1. Range three. Yeah, it might still be better than a P1.
Yeah, but I'll
Range
that.
four and up.
Screw it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Up to range three, it's better than a P1. Beyond that,
Yep.
but you only have six of them with no other backups. That's a pretty freaking light phaser arm,
Yep. Oh, I
and
totally agree. But basically, you've got one weapon. Not one weapon, but well, you have the basically you're gonna launch two or three of these kinetic wave,
waves.
yeah, I'm looking for the word kinetic waves against the ship, and you can use and if the person gets close, you're toast. Yes, you can fire maybe three, maybe four of these pulse emitters when it gets close in. I mean, close in, i.e., range three or less. If he keeps you out to between five and eight, you're screwed.
Yeah.
So.
Well, if somebody gets into the same hex with you, they're going to eat your lunch because the pulse emitters just don't do that much damage.
Oh, agreed. But
And
and the thing is,
you have no heavy weapons at that point.
right, but to be honest, well, actually, let me look at. Yeah, not great. But to be honest, and there are certain ships that if they get range zero, you're toast. Anyway.
Yeah.
No matter what you are, it's let a Fed get to range zero.
Yeah.
You're not gonna come out very well. You gonna let a Gorn get you at range zero? No, you're not. Or
Right,
any
right.
plasma ship? No, you're not. If obviously if you can get through the weapons, and in the case of the Sigvarian, the problem is timing.
Yes.
You can in theory, if the Sigvarian opponent launches too late, he's toast. Because you can run
Yeah.
right through it. And still
He fires too early, you're toast also.
right,
But
exactly.
one thing you might want to do is you might want to turn, say, to the left, or let's say you're coming up from you're headed north on the board. You might want to turn right, fire off your rear arc L launcher, then immediately hook back left and chase that torpedo.
I was more thinking along,
And
actually, Barry, what I was more thinking along the lines of is come in, then launch. What's a good, maybe range 15?
you can't,
Well, range
yeah,
15.
but if you launch at range 15 against somebody who's moving quickly, they are going to be able to run in. You're not going to be able to get more than two.
No, you can get you'll be get four.
And
Here's why. Listen, give me a shot. Come in range 15. Follow in maybe a little not maybe follow in a little longer, then turn away. Because if your opponent is foolish enough to run through it, fine, run through them. Now I'm gonna turn, and if you chase me, I can then I'll then launch my heavies, and hopefully be able to land all four. Now, of course, the problem is after I land all four, I'm screwed.
Yeah.
That is the problem,
Well,
because I'm without weapons basically for the next three turns. If I am able to launch all
Well,
four.
here's the thing. If I fire at range, let's say I fire two of them at range 15, my opponent can run in and take two of them in the 6 to 10 bracket. It's easy enough to phaser them down, take them on a six or a two shield, and not take any internals, and then continue to come on in.
And more to the
Okay.
point, and more to the point, Barry, after he does that, if he keeps coming in and you've launched your other two, he can take those other two on a different shield.
Not only that, but the fact is that you've yeah.
And as I,
And
and then as
and you
and then as I pointed out, now
and it's
you're defenseless
problematic
for
that
the
you'll get
next
those other
three
two.
turns.
Yeah, and it's problematic that you'll get those next two in the 6 to 10 range. You'll probably, there's a possibility you might get them in the 1 to 5 range, in which case they do even less damage.
Right.
Now,
But,
2 turns later, they come back as lights.
right.
But once he gets inside of your effective range, and if he can stay in the 1 to 5 range of you have really no effective weapons.
Agreed. Now that's going to be depending completely on your opponent, what kind of weapons he has,
Yeah.
because I'm assuming at some point he's going to be launching some weapons on the first
Right.
turn, maybe the second turn. Second turn would probably be best for your opponent because then he's not probably won't be really recharging his weapons. Until the next turn, and usually, so your energy cost normally is a little bit less. Depends upon the weapon, of course.
Well, let's say you're up against a Gorn or a Rom or some other plasma armed race. Okay. You can hold on to your plasmas, run through the SIG's effective range, and now he's got a problem. If he continues to run, you chase him into a corner and then unload all your plasmas. Game over.
Yes, but at the same time, there's no such beast in Omega. Really.
Okay. Trobriand. Trobriand can run in on him. Mazran can run in on him. Now, the other thing to keep in mind is that it would be an effective tactic not to charge your heavy weapons while you're charging the SIG. He has no, if you get to point blank range, you can out phaser him. So you might not want to spend the energy on charging weapons. Maybe holding some heavy weapons if you have holdable ones, but don't charge anything. You want everything for brick and speed to run through his plasmas. And now you're inside of his effective range, and you can pound away, and there's not a damn thing he can do.
Oh, agreed, agreed. Well, that's why I was pointing out the range that most probably turn two is could be will be a better effective time, because after you've run through his the Sigvarian's weapons, the Sigvarian now has to charge his weapons to be ready for at the very least the turn afterwards, and most probably your weapon cost is going to be lesser because of holding. For certain weapons and other weapons,
Yeah.
you're probably have you're going to have phaser capacitors, so you don't have to charge those,
Right.
and then you can easily more run them down at that point. At least I said that's depends on the weapons.
Right.
You're
The other
assuming
thing that they could
that.
do is he can fire these at longer range and follow them in and see what you do. So if he fires them at like range 25 or so and follow them in, Now, just fire one at range 25. That's what I'm saying. Turn off to the right, and come in obliquely. Fire one at range 25. Then turn immediately left to bring the other launchers into arc. If he tries to run in on that one, then immediately fire another one. Okay. If he turns off and runs that one out, follow it in until he runs out of map, and then fire another one, and then at say range 20, and then another one a little closer in, and just keep lobbing him in at one at a time.
But I'm sure you see the fault. There's one issue with that, which is, of course, that the person can, that your opponent can then pick a shield. He can spread.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Spread,
yeah.
The kinetic waves over multiple shields.
Yes, they can. Yes, they can. It's, that's the problem with this weapon. It's not. Yeah, if you spread it out, he can spread it out, and then. I don't think this ship is playable.
Oh, I agree. It's a very difficult ship to play, and worse yet, your opponent has to be willing to do something which was suboptimal when it comes to actually how he fights, you know.
Yeah. If you're up against anybody who understands the weakness of that ship, you can't. It's not a damn thing you can do. Now, I went into module 02, SSD book 02. I don't know if you have access to that.
I should. Let me just... Yes.
The command cruiser.
Okay, that'd be number 69. Okay.
So, that guy added two lights. Well, one LS, one RS. That might make a difference. Also added a lot of impulse.
Oh, did it ever.
Yeah. But you kind of need it because those lights take a lot of power.
Oh, I agree.
Remember that even the lights takes 3 points of power per turn to arm.
Yep.
And the lights have the same range as the heavies.
Right. They're just a little weaker. And actually, they're not bad. If you look at the damage when it comes to the optimum range, you know, they're not that far off the heavies, really.
Right. Yeah.
So you definitely, I definitely could see that someone was playing Sig Variants, they would rarely ever actually launch a heavy, except for the first time.
Yeah.
Because of you don't get the, you get more damage, but you need in the middle of a fight, you need to be getting those weapons back available ASAP, and that's going to be two turns, and you can take the decreased damage.
Yeah. So with six launchers effectively, now it's another horse of another color.
Oh, I agree that the additional light kinetic wave weapons definitely help.
Yeah.
Will it be competitive? Yeah. Because as we pointed out, it's not like it has more phase. Does it have more phasers? No, it doesn't have
Nope.
more. Nope, same number. Sorry, pulse emitters. So, sorry, these are not phasers. Definitely.
Now, another possibility is 3 pages down on page 72 is the new command cruiser. Now, or command, it's new heavy cruiser. Now, the new heavy cruiser, you're back down to just the four heavy kinetic waves.
Whoa. Damn. You got an IPE
What?
and you also have phaser W. Phaser ones.
Yes, it replaces each of the light kinetic waves with a pair of phaser ones, and it replaced four of the PEs with PW3s, which are, in my opinion, lesser phasers,
Oh,
but you picked
agreed.
up two IPEs. I don't know why that's 10 points more than the command cruiser. I think that's a lesser ship.
To a certain degree, I agree. The one thing that the phaser ones give it is better range when it comes to
Yes.
da damage from their secondary weapons.
Yes. Phaser ones give you better range. They're actually at short range, the PEs are better.
Oh, I agree. I
But
agree. And that's why I said for the longer ranges, i.e., outside of
right.
range
Now the
three.
yeah, the IPEs are somewhat better than the PEs. They're not as good as you think it is. I mean, it's basically one more energy, one more damage per pulse. It's still not up to a phaser Gatling, though.
Yeah, but it is closer. Actually, range one, it's
It's
equal.
much closer to a
It's
Gatling.
per pulse, it's equal. A range one.
It's actually better at longer ranges than a
Yes.
Gatling.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. But at short range, it matches a Gatling. And yeah, at range three, it's killer kick ass. I think the new heavy cruiser would be the appropriate ship to take for a tournament cruiser. I think the two extra kinetic wave launchers are a bit overpowered.
Barry, I have a hard time
Well,
believing. No, I really have a hard time believing that. Given the quirkiness of how the damage is that the closer you're in,
okay.
you get the better off you are as an opponent. This is not if they had it so that it was actually did more damage closer in.
Yeah.
Have it so maybe
Like any other weapon.
right. It doesn't even have to do. Doesn't have to be even equal to the range 15. Just say, it's a little bit less than that. It still, needs to be a lot better, a lot more damage than it currently is.
I know.
So
There's
that.
only one other weapon in the game I know of that improves as the range increases, and that's the ADD.
True. Well, 88 is meant to be used at a certain range. And as it gets
Yes.
closer, it gets worse. And in that case, you're more desperate. It's like, please hit, please hit, please hit.
Yeah, I know.
Been there,
But
done that.
yeah, okay. I could see a CC might be a decent ship to use. Certainly needs the power. Gosh. 6 times 3 is 24 points of power into heavy weapons every turn.
Yep, that,
Yeah.
yeah. Well, that's why you need that extra power. But doesn't
Although
really.
having said that, after 2 turns, you've put 48 points of power into weapons. You're going to be doing 48 points of damage even at the 1 through 5.
Right.
That's substantial.
I agree. But it's, it still isn't compared it to some other weapons that
And if you can get them out to 6 to 10 range, it's a lot of damage.
But it assumes that you are able to launch them all.
He could.
No, it's yeah, but
They
remember.
the firing arcs are screwy.
Yep, exactly. It's not as bad as the Jindarian when it comes to its firing arcs versus, when it comes to its weapons. But it comes close.
No, it isn't. It's actually much better, and I'll tell you why. Because this ship is nimble and has 2 free hex. So you can fire half, fire the other half. Boom, boom.
True, true.
Of course, at that point, your opponent just says D-cell and weasel.
Yeah. That is the issue. Well, that's always the issue for any seeking weapon, opponent.
Actually, the D-cell and weasel would be a devastating thing to do because the last thing you want to do is start moving slowly because now the SIG can get to effective range, and even firing them as lights, a light at most effective range is just as effective as a heavy at the medium ranges.
Because then you can control the range a heck of a lot better. Since your opponent is going slower, yeah, that's what you want.
Right. Yeah.
Interesting. Interesting idea, though.
On the other hand, against a fast opponent, if they're at any decent range and they can hit and run them out.
Yeah, but can't hit many times. And run them out.
Right.
Run them out without heading. Yeah, but you don't want to hit too long.
Yeah.
Lord knows that's how I won my first Sapphire star. For the four game. Was that the Gorn tried to hit twice and that didn't work out. Failed on that second hit. So
Oops.
yeah, oops. That'd be it.
Oh, that's game over.
Yeah, that was game over. Yeah, that's when. Dave,
Yeah.
Zimbars. I was playing him.
Oh.
You remember him, right?
And he decided, I do remember
Okay.
him.
Okay. I hope so,
Yeah.
because we both met him at Schenectady,
Council 5.
Council of Five. Yep, Council of
Yeah,
Five
Council
Nations.
5
Yeah,
Nations.
he did his lecture.
Yeah. Yep, I remember that. And I occasionally correspond with him on Facebook.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was rusty. It's like, yeah, Dave, yeah, you were definitely rusty because he did some, in that battle, he did some really weird things. I'm going, why did you just do that? Why? Dave, why did you do that? For
That is actually Dr. Dave Zindar.
True. Very true.
PhD in physics.
Damn. I don't think my father got a PhD in physics. I think he only had a master's.
Got my bachelor's in physics.
Yeah, well, my father also worked for the Ballistic Research Lab in Aberdeen, Maryland. Basically worked the Defense Department. He worked on shape charges, basically armor-piercing missiles. The warheads that they were
Interesting.
designed for that. And also he
He
was
what was this during the Korean War?
yeah he def yeah he definitely was working for the for them during the Korean War. Yeah.
My father was there at that time.
Huh.
They may have met.
That is possible. Yeah, also he worked on the reactive armor too.
Is your father still with us?
No, whoa.
Oh,
Long ago
okay.
passed away. Just like my mother
And
as well at
mine
this
went
point,
in the...
long ago passed away too. So
I know. I'm sorry.
yeah.
I know my father passed in 95, so I guess we can't ask them.
Yep, Bo. Agreed. Was he just at Aberdeen
But
Proving
my
Ground, or was did he actually work at the Ballistic Research Lab?
the proving ground.
Okay, so they might have seen each other, but they might not have interacted all that much. Because
Right. Well,
Aberdeen
my
Proving
father
Ground
was left to
is pretty
Lynchian,
big.
so. Oh, I know. I know. I know. But they were in the same general area at the same
Yeah,
time.
yeah. I remember the. I remember going to Ballistic Research Lab on those family days, where they basically would let people in to visit the research lab to see okay, some of the hardened, well, not hardened. Well, it was kind of, obviously it was kind of hardened. Basically, labs where they actually would put the explosives in this space and explode it. And then get measurements from that. So they show people around the offices. Obviously, they'd make sure anything that was classified was put away, and all that kind of thing. Also, got to see the tank trial place because they had different slopes. For the tanks to try to get up, so to test them out, some of that was
I know
pretty
my
awesome.
father was working on artillery rounds at Aberdeen and testing that. So that's in some ways similar. But my father, I think, was his enlist. He was drafted, and his draft. He only did one enlistment, and when that was up, he was no longer required to re-enlist, and he didn't.
Right.
And I think that was up in the late 50s.
Yeah, my father, they tried to draft him, but they couldn't. Medical issues. So he wasn't, he worked for the Defense Department. He didn't actually, wasn't part of the Army. So, yeah. Crazy. But anyhow, back to actually Starfleet Universe. I'm talking about our fathers.
Yes.
But yeah,
So, yeah.
the
Yeah, so, as I said, it was, I don't know. I definitely would. I could see the command cruiser.
Right.
I would not.
I would like to try that. I think it'd be interesting to see how
Yeah.
it turned out against some of the
Right,
Omega
with the
opponents.
improved PEs. Yeah, that would help a lot.
That'd be
And
one
then
thing
you
to
have the
increase the damage.
PW3s, more
Right.
damage still, because PWs are anemic. They really are.
Oh, understood. Yeah, because
Yeah.
yeah, I'll just wonder if there's any way of improving it. And I don't think there is.
Well, you could.
Well, because
Certainly
sure,
there is.
I've given it
Oh, you
phases
mean but.
that it normally doesn't have, and not talk about the phaser W's. I'm talking about other phases which are a little better for offensive work versus defensive. Obviously, the great thing about pulse emitters is that they're pretty close to being phasers, and they're really good for defense.
Right. Well, with the two improved PEs, that's all you need for point defense. If you took the four PW3s and turned them into PW1s, then you would have eight PW1s. That's about right. So that might be one thing to do.
Agreed.
Or take the PW3s and make them back into IPEs.
Yeah. Well, that was the one thing I was thinking about, but I'm not sure how much better it becomes. Is say we take the expanse c command crew, get the, take the command cruiser, convert all the PEs to IPEs. How much better does it make it?
The command cruiser.
Yeah,
What's that?
take
The
the
command
command cruiser, which
cruiser.
has all six torps, but instead of having
Yeah.
having PEs, have IPEs.
I think the command cruiser with the standard PEs might by itself be pretty kick ass because it's got two extra lights.
Understood. Understood. Definitely.
That might, yeah.
I agree that it definitely opens up options because
Yeah.
you have enough to make someone think when it comes to approaching, coming after you. And at the same time, you'll have enough for like the next turn and actually have something to fight with. So
Yeah.
it would I think it would help. I don't think it'd be overpowerful because I really don't think so. But I think
With what?
adding the two KRLs. KWLs.
KWLs, yeah.
KWLs. I don't think
Yeah, so you want to take a standard command cruiser, or did you want to increase it any further than that?
Well, obviously, if we were to play test it, I'd take the standard command cruiser to start with minor modification when it
Yeah,
comes to the batteries. Next, no, has five batteries. Might need
it has five
more
batteries. It's good.
warp.
It would need more warp. Well, remember, it's got center. So let's see how much center. Oh, it's got 2, 4, 6, 7.
Seven.
2, 4, 6. Yeah, it would need more warp because it's
Yeah.
got 14 and 12 is 26. It would need four more warp. I think I'd keep the impulse where it is
Yeah.
at 16 impulse, which would give it 46 power, which is huge, but
But those
those
yeah.
KWs are power hungry.
No kidding. See, that's the thing. And they can't be held for a lower cost.
They hold for two.
Okay, but still, that's pretty tight
12
with,
points of holding, yeah.
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 And then of course you got the pulse emitters, which again you can hold for half cost. but only half cost. This is not like it has phasers.
Right. So you're paying 15 in holding cost for all your weapons.
Right. That's if you,
Ouch.
yeah, exactly. So that's what you need, that additional power.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
Otherwise, you'll walk and chew gum at the same time. Okay, well, Barry, I think we'll let you go at this point because I don't think
Yeah.
there's not much we can discuss about disagreements from this point. I think we've talked it all
Yeah,
out. Yes.
right. I was thinking that next week I'd like to discuss go back to the Mazarin, revisit the Mazarin.
Okay. I would be more than happy to revisit the Mazarin.
Okie doke.
Okie dokie. Well, Barry,
Hey,
you have a good
good
night.
hearing from you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
I'm glad we got had Barry for as long as we did, because he was tired and I know he needed to get some sleep. But have a nice, wonderful talk about the Sigvarians. Actually, I think it's Sigvarians, not Sigvarians, because it's an I, not an A. Discuss it. The kinetic wave weapon is just, it's nuts. How it increases in damage as it goes along, and then it trails off. So if you get it early on, then it doesn't do as much damage. If you get it later, much later on, it doesn't do as much damage. But if you just are bad you're with your timing, or you forget, then you can be hurt quite a bit. So, it's that's why, again, I think, sorry, I'm pointing at it here, and you guys can't see it. This, the command cruiser, I think that is probably a better idea when it comes to having it as a tournament cruiser. And keep let it keep the power. Lord have mercy, let it keep the power because it's going to need it. That's why I'm sure that's why it has 16 points of impulse. Now remember, it has no APRs, not a single one. Now, the crazy thing about impulse is, who cares? If you had like four impulse and four APR, well then, then you're just worried about how it takes damage, because that would change the way it took damage in that case, because of how the way the damage allocation chart, in that you'd only be able to hit one, usually one, well, not one impulse, but it make it harder to take down more power overall. So with that, I think we'll wrap it up for the evening. With that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.